that large and busy class, the raw material of the anatomists kept perpetually running out, and the business thus rendered necessary was not only unpleasant in itself, but threatened dangerous consequences to all who were concerned. It was the policy of Mr. K to ask no questions in his dealings with the trade. "They bring the bodies, and we pay the price," he used to say, dwelling on the alliteration quid pro quo.
She was weary of the doctor's subdued, manly tones, of the nurse's commonplace motherliness. Too habitually adapted to the needs of all to be appreciated by the individual, of the childish consolation of the young sister, who had never loved, never been married, did not know what sorrow was.
Cursing himself for a fool, he turned away with a laugh. But his laugh was short-lived, for it seemed to him that something else in the room was laughing also. Struck suddenly still, with his feet glued to the ground, he stood listening for a while.
The aunts would not see, of course. They never saw the things that mattered. No one would see except Ernest. He looked hard at the marble child. "You must come out," he said. And again, "You must come. You must." And the marble child did come. It crept out and came to sit by him, holding his hand. It was a cold hand, certainly, but it did not feel like marble.